Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. How many of us are healed? All of us are healed. I believe that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I am healed. One of these days we're going to get it. Wow. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. We got a couple of announcements.
Praise the Lord. Okay, next Sunday. What's next Sunday? It's another Sunday. Oh, no, potluck. Amen. Oh, you must work here. Okay, so there's a flyer here. Amen. About the potluck, about what time it's going to be next Sunday, service at 2, and then the meeting at 4. I'll leave them right here for now. I'll take them in the back. So bring your favorite dish. Enough for an army. Okay, just praise him. Family and friends. Okay? Praise the Lord. Who's excited about potluck?
Amen.
Who wants Pastor to preach short?
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, y'all heathens.
We'll have a quick, and then we'll eat. Yeah. A quick testimony or two, and then we'll eat. I know how y'all are. You're just like me. You're a bunch of hungry critters. You want to eat. So anyway, we won't drag it out very long. But we do like to eat, don't we?
Yeah.
God, He provides us with all these good things, and I don't know what Dave's doing here, but he's doing.
You want me to read testimonies, right?
Yeah.
We got a few
good testimonies.
Okay, you're just gonna have to put up with me because I didn't review them beforehand. Okay.
Yeah, Cheryl may be in Colorado, and I may be down here, but she and I every night now are still praying for people and answering prayers. Praise God. He's on one side of the world, I'm on the other side of the world, but we're still getting it done. We're praying for people, and people are getting their prayers answered. Wow.
Praise the Lord.
And here's a few of the testimonies.
Praise the Lord. The Lord answered this prayer just an hour or so after I sent you this request. The Lord is so real. He is so real. I pray for y'all because of correction. I pray for y'all because of all that you give. You give everything in your lives. Thank you so much for that. Okay, and it was, I'd like to bring my mom before the Lord with both of you. She isn't feeling well. Couldn't really put her finger on it. Lord, I ask that you bring health to my mom. I thank you for all the times we've come to you over her and healed her. I'm so grateful, Lord. You're so good and kind to us. She has turned 92, so I understand that our bodies weaken as we get older. But Lord, I ask that you would strengthen her body. This is what she desires. And I have held on to you to answer my desire regarding my mom. My desire hasn't come to complete fruition, though you have done an incredible work to bring it about. Lord, you fought the fight and won our redemption and health. I will continue to stand on your promise to us. By your stripes we are healed. And that was the one that was answered within an hour after sending the
mom's
health.
Would we all like
health,
to have it happen?
Lord.
We pray, and an hour later we get our answer. I'm for that.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers and answering them. Yes, Lord.
Okay. Please pray for me. I just got dizzied and my eyesight was very blurry for a while. I'm at my job right now. I did not say anything to anybody. I went to the bathroom and pleaded the blood of Jesus over me. I don't know what caused it. My stomach was empty. I ate an apple, and after a few minutes, everything went back to normal. Praise the Lord. I don't know if it is because of the migraine, which likely has been bothering me, or maybe. And this is the part. I also would like to give you a praise report about my car. It is working great since I requested prayer, and I'm waiting for my husband. My mom's cousin is feeling better. Thank you. I love you both and appreciate you.
Praise the Lord.
So, praise the Lord. You know Cheryl does these things better, but
just think, if you don't pray, you can't get no praise reports. If you pray, you can get praise reports, and we love that, don't we? Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. A few weeks ago, around the 1st of October, I sent a prayer request for a young couple with their 4 children who are taking a camping trip to Lake Trompas, New Mexico. Around midnight, the winds were so strong that caused a large tree to fall on the couple. The oldest girls had to go for help. About 17 hours later, they were able to get them out and on the way to hospitals in Albuquerque and Santa Fe. 24 hours later, correction, 24 hours had passed before the mother reached the hospital. Long story short, both had to have surgery. The mother had gallbladder, appendix, and something else removed. Then surgery on their pelvic. After several weeks, they were able to return to their home and family in Amarillo. She has to wear a metal brace around her midsection, but they are all praising God for this amazing rescue and miracle of survival. Thank you for joining and praying for them.
Well, amen.
I also asked you to pray for my dear husband who had a strange bleed at the end of July. He lost a lot of blood and was rushed to the hospital. After 5 days, they diagnosed that the bleed was due to diverticulitis. Yeah. He was fortunate not to have surgery. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Praise Jesus. I am in tears. I am so grateful. Thank you for praying for me, Pastor Scribner. It was an honor to talk to you. I hope to meet you one day in person. I can't stop weeping. I don't think I've ever wept like this before. They are happy tears because I know I'm healed and I know everything's going to be okay. Thank you so much for giving me your time today. I am forever grateful. God bless you and your amazing team. Praise the Lord. All right.
Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the faith to pray for people.
Praise the Lord. Dear Thurman and Cheryl, I hope Christy is doing well. I am thankful for your prayers. 2 weeks ago, Lewis was in the hospital asking the Lord to take him home. The suffering was too much for him to bear, but the Lord did not grant him his request. He is now driving the big truck, the one that I collected the clothes for him to send us El Salvador. His vision has been restored. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. The man who was doing the driving for him returned to his old ways of womanizing, and he is dating a... Praise the Lord. Lewis fired him and made his first trip to Puerto, from Puerto to San Miguel, moving logs. He will be able to have an income. His vision is good. The little boy Milton still helps him. So grateful, so thankful. Yes, the Lord honors those who honor him. God bless you both.
Amen. Praise the
Praise
Lord.
The Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Praise to our Lord, our God, since the doctor confirmed that both, the correction, that my bones are complete as he checked my x-ray result today. He said that there are only a few misaligned, but I believe that our Lord healed me. God has the power to align all my bones in the perfect location in Jesus' powerful name. Thanks and praise to our Lord. I felt my rib cage has been moved in its proper location today. I am healed in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit and great love of Abba, our Father. Thank God for granting my birthday wish. Thank you very much, Pastor Thurman, and to all the ministries for praying with me in Jesus' name and serving our Lord. All glory to our Lord, God our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit love. Bless us, and the Holy Spirit loves and bless us all.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. I had tonsillitis and asked for prayer and was completely healed. Last July, I experienced a little pain in my scrotal area, and now I am experiencing more pain and discomfort, and also in the adjacent area. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for healing him. I told myself to give God first shot instead of going straight to the doctor and repented of all my sins, known and unknown, as Pastor Thurman preached. Please pray for my healing. Thank you very much for your ministry. God bless. So that the healing was that he had tonsillitis and asked for prayer and was completely healed. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right.
God sure does have lots of trouble getting us to pray. You know,
yeah, amen.
We'd rather go to the doctor.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord.
All right. Thank you for praying for Taylor in the past, Pastor Thurman. 2 years ago, we attended a healing conference, and you prayed that Taylor would no longer be allergic to any metals so that she could wear earrings. Praise the Lord, she is healed from metal allergies. You impressed upon Taylor that nothing is too little to pray for, and she has already remembered that.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Thurman.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, Dave has read all those testimonies. I want you to know that this God that we serve, he can do exceedingly, abundantly. above all. You can either think or imagine. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, if he can do all those things and we're all already healed and everything, then why do we have all these problems? Well, I'll tell you why. We don't believe. Isn't that something? The thing I want to start out with, I want you to know that we are what we say. We possess what we confess. In fact, I made a little pamphlet and put it on the website years ago. And, you know, if you want to really pay attention to see what we confess, most people don't confess what they want. Sure. Dave was talking just a few minutes ago about blood pressure. I went down to my family yesterday. My sister and all nearly everybody was there. We had a great day yesterday. I was talking to one of my, I don't even know, there's so many grand, great grand, and all this stuff down the line, I don't know which one it is. But anyway, one of the kids, and she's probably 25, 30 years old, and she goes to a church that doesn't believe in miracles. There's a lot of those around, aren't they?
Yeah.
A lot of them around don't believe in. I told her, I said, you know, I want to tell you something. I said, your grandmother over there, my sister, she's 88, fixing to be 89. And as we were talking yesterday, I said, I want you to talk to your grandma. And I want you to let her tell you what happened, since the church you go to does not believe in miracles. In fact, I was telling a story about something, and she said, Uncle Thurman, you know, don't you know that miracles don't happen no more? I said, honey, you got to meet it just a little bit too late. Just a little bit too late. I said, you see your grandmother there and her other grandmother, which is my sister's daughter. I said, come over here, Vicki. I said, I got something I want to share. I told him, I said, you see this girl right here? And she said, yes. I said, now you know she wouldn't lie to you. He said, oh no, my grandmother would never lie to me. She's the honest woman I ever seen. I said, okay. I want you to ask her what happened when she was a young woman in her early 20s, whenever a knot came upon her breast. She looked over at her and she said, Grandma, did this really happen? And she said, oh yes, it really happened. I said, I never talk about it because it happened so long ago. But she said, yes, what the story we're going to tell you did happen. Said, I was a young woman and said, this knot came upon my breast. And said, Uncle Thurman had been studying the Bible. And he'd been learning all kinds of stuff about what God does and about the promises of God. And so he was always talking to my sister, her grandmother, about these miracles. And we were raised up in a Baptist church. We were raised up in a church that didn't believe in miracles either. I mean, so several of you in this room probably were raised up in some kind of a church that didn't believe in miracles. For sure, we don't believe the book means what it says. Now, I'm only going to let it mean what it says if it does what I like. If I got to obey it and I don't like it, I ain't going to believe it. I'm going to tear that page out.
No.
I mean, that's what we do with the Bible. So anyway, I hate to say it, but that's just the truth. You know, I mean, you can stop and think if you tell somebody that God is good all the time, that he does wonderful things and all this stuff, everybody locks right onto that and they love it. But if you say, you know, he also, the judgment will start in the house of the Lord. If you don't obey him, he'll give you a spanking. No, God would never do that. But that's not what the book says. So, anyway, I'm telling these girls about this wonderful God that we serve and how I was learning these principles. I said, I'm reading, after I came back from Vietnam, I started for the first time in my life really consuming and reading God's Word. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't care who you are, you can't read the Bible 10 or 15 hours a week, every week for 10 years and not get something out of it. It's going to change your life. Now, I know there'll be times that he'll try to tell you something and it'll be a knockdown battle. Because I remember the first time God told me to tell a man to call the elders of the church to pray over him and he'd heal him and he had stage 4 cancer. And my statement to God was, God, you didn't hear what she said. She said he has terminal cancer. I can just see God now saying, if you'll only do what I tell you and call the men to pray over and do what I say, I'll heal that man because I can't lie. So anyway, I said, your grandmother called me, my sister, called me and said, her daughter has got a knot on her breast. And I had learned something, that there's unforgiveness in a woman's life. Whether women like this or not, it's just a fact of life. If you have unforgiveness and bitterness against another woman, if you leave it there long enough and talk bitter enough about her long enough, eventually you'll have a knot come up on your breast. Because I've learned that this kind of sickness comes upon a woman because of her bitterness and unforgiveness toward another female. So I said, as soon as I said that, she said, oh my goodness, see, I've got a grudge against so-and-so. I said, well, just forgive her. She said, are you trying to tell me, Uncle Thurman, that my grandmother's knot on her breast was caused because she had unforgiveness against a female? And I said, that's exactly right. I've learned that's what works. Now, I can't show you that in the Bible where that says that very thing, but I said, I tell you that from all the women I've seen that had breast cancer, every one of them had an unforgiveness against some female. And when they forgave, then we prayed for them and kicked out that devil, and they got healed. So I said, here she is. Your grandmother calls me, and I'm up here at home. Whenever they call, I said, Vicki, that's the other grandmother, which is my sister's daughter. I said, will you forgive this woman? And she said, of course. I'd had no idea that getting into a bitterness with somebody could cause this problem. So she said, I forgive her. I promise I forgive her. And I will love her. I said, I want you to say that again. I will love her. I said, there's only one commandment in the whole book under the new covenant that God gave us. And that law says, I command you to love one another. Is that what he said?
Yes, he did.
I mean, he didn't say if you're a good boy or if you're a bad boy. He said, love you. Is that what he said?
That's right.
So a lot of people don't obey that, do they?
Yeah.
That's for a fact. But I said, all you got to do is say, I forgive that person, and I promise God I will love that person from now on in Jesus' name. I said, now then, you've repented. I said, now then, I have learned that when we do this, I have been given authority over the spirits. And I said, the evil spirits are the ones that God uses to go in and put this sickness on you. So I said, now that you've repented, I'm going to command that spirit to leave you. So I want you to reach into your blouse, and I want you to put your hand on that knot, wherever the knot is on your breast. So she did. And I said, is the knot still there? She said, it's still there. I said, okay, I have been given power and authority in the name of Jesus. So I said, in the name of Jesus, now that you've repented of your sin, I am commanding the spirit of cancer, or spirit of curse, to come out of you, this cancer, this knot, whatever it is. I know it's a demon, so I command and demand that thing come out of you and go to the abyss and never come back. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for giving me the power. And she screams, says, Thurman, Uncle Thurman, it left. It just left. It's completely gone. Said, it's not even there. It's gone.
Amen.
And I said, I told the girls, I said, now, yeah, would you consider that to be a miracle? And they said, oh, my goodness, is that a miracle? I said, that was your grandmother, your great-grandmother, that we all did this. It was me and my sister and her daughter. But by standing on the promises of God and believing and getting rid of and doing things the way God says do them, it works.
Yeah.
And I asked Vicki, I said, Vicki, that's been so many years ago. Has it ever come back? She said, oh, no, Uncle Thurman, never. She said, when you spoke it that night and I forgave, she said, that thing went away. I have never been bothered with that again. But I said, did you learn anything out of that? She said, oh, yeah, to walk in love with everybody. I mean, does God know how to get your attention?
Yes.
When he says to love everybody with no doubt in your heart, what does he mean? Now, if we don't do that, and some people will not do what God says. Some people, God, they will get into a condition like this, and somebody will come along and pray the prayer of faith and kick out that devil, and they get healed. And maybe it was as quick and easy like hers was. But then a little later, they get to thinking, you know, that really was a coincidence. That at the very instant that Thurman prayed, that this thing went away. Now, you know, nobody in their right mind, I mean, I go to a doctor or to a hospital and say, what causes breast cancer? Well, we're trying to figure it out. We don't really know. But we're spending millions a year on research trying to figure out what causes breast cancer. And be sure and have your wife come down and have a mammogram at least every 2 years to make sure you don't get one. But it don't make no difference. They get it anyway. Isn't it amazing the number of people that when you stand on God's word and do what he says, sometimes it's so simple the way God does this that we can't believe that it happens from God. Because, you know, in Matthew, he clearly talks about the different ways that things happen with the different kinds of soil. The heating is so simple. So simple. And God, he does something that's just like that. That man, I was thinking, as Dave was telling that story a while ago, I was thinking about that man that came several years ago to a healing school. When he came up, I'll never forget what he said. He said, I said, how can I pray for you, how can I pray for you, brother? He said, I have 2700 vision. Without glasses, I can't see nothing. But he says, I want my eyesight back. I want perfect 20/20. I said, okay. Mark 11:23. And we're going to take Mark 11:23 and we're going to read that. I want you to see what I told this boy. I'm going to get my chair up here behind the podium where I can see the computer here.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Okay, now let's stop and think about that. And as you can see that, if you and me, if we really believe what that says, if you really did believe it. I mean, this is just one of God's promises, just one. But out of this promise, if you really believe that was true, and the Bible really is our owner's manual for life, and that it means what it says, and you can do what it says, if you really believe that, you would always go to the Word of God before you go to a normal doctor. Would you not?
Yes.
I mean, that's crazy. That's such a crazy promise right there. That just run you right out of your socks. I mean, am I telling the truth?
It's an awesome promise.
It is an awesome promise.
Right.
But obviously, we don't believe it. I mean, I think of Mike and Gracie over here. When they first started coming here and we started teaching these principles, they had never heard them like that. And I told them one day, I said, you know, if you really believe the Bible, and most people that call themselves Christians, they say, I do believe the Bible, but they don't. They really don't. So, but anyway, we go along here and they get several weeks of teaching, and all of a sudden one day, now Mike has had back trouble all his life. Bad back trouble. Of course, he's a mechanic. He lifts heavy stuff all the time, so I know I come out of the same mold, just like he did. I had the same kind of problem he did. I had a back trouble and I had pain, but I was the same way, just like him, he and Gracie. They heard these principles over and over and over. One day they was in the bathroom working on some tape and bedding or something, and he just got hurt so bad he couldn't stand it. He told her, said, "Honey, we're just gonna have to quit. I can't go no more. My back's killing me." She says, "Mike, you know, Pastor Thurman's been telling us that Matthew 18:19 that says if two of us on earth agree about anything we ask him for, he'll do it." Amen. They hadn't believed it. But now then, I don't know how many times over the weeks they've heard me make that statement. But if you go to church and somebody says, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about
anything,"
well, it couldn't do that. It's got to be a misprint. But it ain't, is it?
Yeah, it's not.
If you really believe that, and you know it's not a misprint, you hear it enough, one day you're going to do what they did. Your back is killing you. She says, "Well, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray?" Now, see, up to now, they didn't believe the book meant what it said. But all of a sudden, she says, "Honey, why don't, you know, the Bible does say that if two of us agree about anything we ask him, he'll do it."
Amen.
"So why don't we agree in prayer that your back is healed?" And she prayed the prayer of faith for him and thanked the Lord. And just like Mike told many a time, how long did it take for you to get healed?
One heartbeat.
One heartbeat. And he's been healed ever since. And ain't nobody no happier than Mike. I mean, ain't nothing. I mean, that back pain ain't no good. That ain't no fun, is it?
No.
But how many times do we take this book and we don't believe this book means what it says? You know, in fact, I got to tell you this. I just have to think about Betty. She was having a problem with a computer program. Couldn't get the formulas to work. She couldn't remember which one was, so she prayed. Now, what kind of a crazy woman would pray and ask God to give you a computer program? I mean, who in the world would do such a crazy thing as that? But she asked the Lord to give her those formulas. And after that, she thanked him for doing it, and she goes to bed. The next morning when she woke up, she had a dream in the night, and he had put every formula in every cell, everything was stacked on and perfect, and she went and entered every one of those formulas and cells just exactly, and that program is still working today.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Just think how many times we could do something, but I don't have to ask God to help me. I mean, who didn't he give me a brain? Didn't he give me a mind? Yes, he did, but you know, if you don't use it, sometimes that's why he wants you to pray about everything with thanksgiving. Don't ever try to do anything on your own. Boy, I'm telling you, in life, as I began, of course, my mother was a driver. She wanted me to pray about everything all the time. And there's times when Mother would tell me to pray about something, I'd say, "Mother, I got a brain. God give me a brain. I'm a little bit... Yeah, I got a problem." Because if you don't go to God, you're going to get cheated. But if you go to God, but as I began to see when Mother would say, "Did you pray about that?" And second, I've said it so many times, even in here a few times, whenever I've had something that don't go just right, if I get to Dave and I start telling him, and he all of a sudden he stops me and says, "Hey, Pastor, I haven't heard what time you prayed." Oh, I said, "Oh." I haven't prayed. Now, isn't that crazy? That's absolutely crazy that we would try to do something on our own without praying. But that shows how stupid we are. It don't make any difference who you are. If you really want to know how to get something done, and you're having trouble, go to God. when you go to God and ask Him, Lord, that's just like that story. I've told y'all this story many a time, but one night, one day at work, when I was still working for a corporation over here in Dallas, they had three big boilers that were carrying over like crazy. I got to work about 7 o'clock that morning. I walked in, the VP was standing there at the front door when I came in. He said, Thurman, you got to get down there and help those boys. He said, they've been working all night on them boilers and we have no dry steam. Said that we're dead in the water. He said, you got to get this thing fixed as quickly as possible. We got a major problem on our hands. So I run down to the boiler room right quick and I see Dan and Neil, my men down there. I said, what's wrong? He said, Thurman, I don't know. I've never seen boilers carry over like this. So they'll be dry in 15 minutes. I watched it go through a cycle and I said, Lord, you said I could ask for anything. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Do you think he understands boiler systems?
Yes.
Do you think he understands everything?
Yes.
So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need to know my company is down. I need to get them back on the line quickly. So I said, I need you to tell me what's wrong with this system. Thank you for your answer in Jesus' name. Just like that, just like a drop of a heartbeat. He said, son, your condensate is contaminated. Dump it. I said, Neil, Dan, get over here. I said, break him condensate pipe right there and let that condensate run out on the floor, go down the drain. He said, what are you talking about? I said, don't ask me no questions. Just do what I tell you. And so they quit asking me questions, started doing what I said. In 15 minutes, we had the plant back online. So I went up to the front. 15 minutes later, maybe half hour time I got up there, the VP said, I understand you already got it fixed. I said, yeah, it was really quite simple. Well, I mean, it is simple if you got a God to tell you what to answer, right? So anyway, he said, what was wrong with the thermal? I said, well, I told him some contaminated condensate. And he said, how did you know what to do to fix it? I said, well, it's simple. I'm a Christian. And I asked God, and he told me, and this VP, this don't fit into their ballpark. He said, you did what? I said, I asked God. I prayed. I told the Lord my company was down. The boilers were all running over and going dry, and I said, I needed to know what was wrong, and I thanked him for the answer, and I said, he told me just like that. He knew exactly. He didn't even have to hesitate. He told me exactly what it was. I said, we've done exactly what he told me to do. And I said, we got the machines back online in just minutes. He said, you're telling me that you asked God? What is so wrong with that? But you know, if you want to get locked up in Terrell, Texas, I mean, any of y'all know what Terrell, Texas is? You know what that's all about down there? They got a mental institution down there. And that's where they send people that do things like what I did. They think you're crazy. Is it sad or is it sad? Because when you believed it, Gracie, just like Mike said, when you believed his word and you prayed over your husband and touched him, just like he said, in one heartbeat, his back pain was gone. But there had been a scripture in the Word of God for years that said, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, I will do it for you. Is that right?
That's right.
So how come you hadn't used that years before?
I didn't know.
Isn't that a shame, Gracie?
It went away with the apostles, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, like my little niece or whatever you want to call her, she's Uncle Thurman. My preacher says that miracles went away with the apostles. I said, you're a preacher. He don't know. I mean, no doubt. But you know, I hate to say it, but you know, when you name a denomination, the only one I really will name is the Baptist, because I was a Baptist for 60 years. And let me tell you, in those 60 years I was in the Baptist church, I never saw a healing or an answer to prayer. What happened? Who was the problem, God or me? It was me. Definitely wasn't God, was it? He's sitting there waiting, just like Gracie. It wasn't God. God was not the problem. Was he, Mike?
Not at all.
Think about all those years you've suffered in pain with that back problem. Well, if you'd have knew these things earlier, isn't it wonderful to be healed?
Amen.
When you know you're healed and agree in prayer, wow. I want to take you to a place, and I want us to go to Psalms 91. I want you to look at something in Psalm 91, and let's look at the first verse. When we're there with Mark 11:23, you know what you need. You know what you need to do with Mark 11:23. You need to do what I did with the next verse. There was the verse right below Mark 11:23 is Mark 11:24. Yeah, that's what it says, Mark 11:24. I used Mark 11:24 to get my granddaughter back where she could eat without having to have a tube in her stomach. When we left Cook's Medical Center, they told me that I could not feed her with anything in her mouth. It would go down the wrong pipe, and she would strangle to death. So I told them, I said, no problem, I have Mark 11:23. So I want to use Mark 11:23. I want us to go to Mark 11:24, man. And I want Dave to read Mark 11:24. I want you to see what that says. When you pray, go ahead and read that, Dave. Mark 11:24.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.
Okay, now. I read that verse. I went home and read that verse. Mark 11:24 says, whatever I say, Mark 11:23, but Mark 11:24, one more time, Dave, it says what?
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.
Okay, so I took that verse, I went home, I repented of all my sin. That's a problem that so many of us miss. When you start to pray, make sure you have remitted your sins, and if you're married, make sure you remit your mate's sins, whichever one, whether it's the man or the woman that's doing the praying. It makes no difference in a case like this. But if you're going to pray for somebody like I was going to pray for Caitlin, I wanted to make sure that my sins were confessed. And, of course, I didn't have a wife at that time. My wife was, she got killed in an accident, so I didn't have a wife. So there was nobody but just me and God. But if you have a mate, make sure that you confess her sins or your sins or their sins, and then wash everybody in the blood. You want to get this thing just as clean as you can. And do y'all understand why? You want to be clean and pure and holy so that the enemy will have nothing that he can stop this prayer with. So anyway, whenever we prayed, I told him, I told that doctor, I said, I have Mark 11:24. So I'm going to use Mark 11:24, and then I said, when do you want me to bring her back? He said, in 2 months. Bring her back in 2 months, and we'll check it and see what it's doing. I said, okay. So I go home, and I repent of all sin. And then I quote Mark 11:24. And then I stand on Mark 11:24, and I say, thank you, Lord, it's done in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, it's done. I mean, I believe it's done, but I'm feeding her. Every day when I put that plug in her stomach, I have to pump food into her stomach right through a bottle and right into her stomach. And I praise the Lord for healing her and everything. And then two months comes and goes, and we go to the doctor. The doctor checks the valve. He comes back and said, I'm sorry, sir, it don't work. I said, it's got to work. I mean, I have Mark 11:24. What did that say I had to do?
Believe.
I've got to be believing. I'm reading the Bible. I'm looking at it. I've got to be believing. Doesn't that make sense? You'd think I would believe, right? Surely I'm not that dumb. But I am. I'm saying it, but it ain't working. So I go home and I go through the whole scenario. I repent of sin, break all curses, do everything I'm supposed to be doing, wash me in the blood, and I command the spiritual curse to come out, all everything that I know I'm supposed to do. And I do it, and then I feed her with a tube right through the stomach. For 2 more months, we do this for 2 more months, and then I take her back down there, and again, he tells me, it ain't working. It ain't working. you can't feed her yet. I said, Doc, I've been using Mark 11:24 every day for 4 months now. I said, it's got to work. It's got to work. He said, well, I'm sorry, sir. It ain't working. So we go through this for 10 months. Finally, at the 10th month, I look at that scripture. One more time, Dave. What does that say?
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire.
Wait a minute. What things I desire. Okay, what am I desiring? That the flapper valve work. That she can eat, right?
Right.
This is what I'm desiring. When I pray, do what?
Believe.
In other words, when I pray, believe.
Right.
Not 2 months from now when I go back to the doctor. See, this Bible, it means exactly what it says, and you have to do exactly what it says. You can't say, well, I read this, but I'm going to do this, because it won't work. It didn't work for me. I tried everything. So anyway, he says, when I pray, believe. When I pray. Is that what he said?
Amen.
That doesn't mean 2 months from now when I take her back to the doctor.
No.
So if I'm using this scripture, which is what I'm using, Mark 11:24, when I pray, I have got to believe it's done.
Yeah.
Right then, not 2 months later. So I repented for all my sins of unbelief. Because I thought I would believe. If you'd asked me, Thurman, you're not believing that, I would have been offended. What do you mean I don't believe that? Of course I believe that. I believe every word of the Bible from front to back. I believe everything it says. Then why don't you do what it says? I am doing what it says. No, you're not. Y'all see this little story, the way this is going on? I'm not doing what I think I should be. I think I'm doing what I should be doing, but I'm not doing it. So anyway, I look at that thing and I said, when I pray, when do I have to believe?
When I pray.
So if I believe when I pray, then what can I do? Do I need to wait 6 months or 2 months to go feed her again?
No.
I need to feed her right now. Boy, you talk about, no, Char, you got two fantastic young boys here. Do you love them boys?
Yes, sir.
With all your heart?
Yes, sir.
So if you come up to one of them and they couldn't eat, you was having to plug a thing in and you prayed, and you've been to the doctor just a few weeks ago and the doctor says, that thing ain't working. But you said, I'm going to take God's word, I'm going to repent of my sins, and I'm going to believe that this book means what it says, so I'm going to repent, and now then I'm going to feed him, I'm going to give him something to eat. The doctor says, you put anything in his mouth, you're going to kill him. Now then, you think that won't put you to the test?
Amen.
Because you just said you just love that little guy, right?
Yeah.
And I know that's true. You love your boys. But I love my little granddaughter, too. But I've got to do something now that goes beyond my comfort zone. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
If you haven't been through these kind of tests, you ain't lived yet.
Amen.
I mean, this will test you. This will check you out. This will find out what you're made of. Did Abraham go through something like that?
Yes.
Then after he got his boy and everything, after waiting 25 years, he takes him up on the mountain and God says, kill him.
Yep.
You think God would never do something like that? Never. But he pulled that knife up and he starts to go down and what happens? An angel puts his hand and said, now I know you really love me. Abraham believed that if he killed him, that God would raise him from the dead. He had that kind of faith. You talk about a test. That's a test. And I don't like them. I don't mind telling you, I don't like them. I didn't like that one that day with Caitlin. But after I repented of all my sin and everything, and I went over to her house and I said, Toby, I said, do you have anything here for Caitlin to eat or drink? He said, well, I've got some orange juice here, and I got a little bit of applesauce. I said, let's feed her. He said, Thurman, we just come back from the doctor a couple weeks ago, and the doctor said that the flapper valve does not work. What makes you think it works now? I said, because I just repented of my sin. And I prayed a prayer of faith that's different than anything I've ever prayed. I'm going to believe that God heard my prayer and that I can, he answered the prayer just like he said. I've got to believe when I pray, not whenever I take her back to the doctor. So I said, give me a bowl of applesauce and a spoon and I'm going to feed her right now in Jesus' name. He said, Thurman, you're going to kill her. I said, Toby, the doctor said she'd never walk. The doctor said she'd never do anything. I said, is she doing everything? He said, yes, she's doing everything. I said, well, why don't you start believing me and God? He said, okay. So he gave me a bowl of applesauce, and I set it on the table, set a little bottle of orange juice up there, and I hollered, Kaylin, honey, come in here. She was in the other bedroom playing with her dolls. She come running in there, sat down, and I said, eat that applesauce and drink that orange juice. She stuck, I don't mind telling you. I really don't mind telling you, when she stuck that spoon in there, the first time I put that in her mouth, granddaddy's heart stopped. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Because if it goes in her mouth and it goes down the wrong pipe, I've just killed my granddaughter. That means I got to really believe this book. Is that right, Char?
That's right. Exactly.
I got to really, really believe that book. And he put me to the test that day. Let me tell you, he put me to the test. She ate that whole bowl of applesauce, drank that little bottle of orange juice, and she jumped down out of her chair and ran back in there and started playing with her dolls. Yeah. May you never have to go through a test like that, but let me tell you, he did that to me for me to be able to tell you, I mean what I say in my word. I'm not a wishy-washy God when I said you must pray when you believe when you pray. That's what I mean. I don't mean something else. I mean what I say. My word is forever settled in heaven. It cannot be broken. Now you've got to believe it. He said, now if you walk in obedience to my word and do what I say, you can ask me for anything and I'll do it for you. So anyway, we fed her. She ate. The next day, I quit using the pump. I started feeding her everything, ate by mouth. This is the first, nearly 10 months, you might say, or a little over 10 months, we had been feeding her with a tube. So now then, we're taking the tube, and we're just leaving it there, leave the plug in it, and I'm letting her eat by mouth with a spoon like she's supposed to. So for 6 weeks, we eat normal. Not a problem. I thought, well, he said, at 12 months, bring her back. I said, okay, I've been feeding her now for 6 weeks. I said, okay, so I took her back down there to the doctor, and he said, well, as long as it's been, it hadn't worked a lick, so he said, it won't ever work. I said, Doc, this time it's going to work perfect. He said, how do you know that? I said, you check it for me and tell me what's going on. He checked her and he came back. He said, I don't believe this. He said, that valve is working perfect. I said, well, I knew it had to be because I've been feeding her normal for 6 weeks. He looked at me and said, Mr. Scribner, you are the craziest man I've ever seen in my life. Don't you know you could have killed that little girl? I said, I could have been feeding her with a pump the rest of her life, too. Couldn't I? But when I did exactly what God told me to do, just like when Gracie and Mike did exactly what God told them to do, just like Bill and Betty, when they done exactly what God told them to do, who showed up?
God.
God did. And he'll do that for us every time. And that's why so much, now then, let's go look a little bit. Let's look at the Psalm 91. I want to go to Psalm 91. I want you to look at something here.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Okay, let's back up to that one more time. I want to stop and I want you to dwell on what that says.
He
just
that
dwell on that. It says dwell in the secret place of the Most High. This telling you something you have to do. If you want this book to work, there is places you'll run into things just like this, that God tells you that he's going to do something for you, but you have to do something if you want it to work. And do we all want his word to work?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Read that verse one more time, Dave. He that dwelleth in the secret place.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Now, you see that if you do what the first line says, then the last line will work. What does it mean to dwell in the secret place? What is the secret place? It's the Word of God. In other words, do you know people that are Christians and was just like I was? Let me tell you something. When I was a young man, I loved to work on cars. I loved to work on hot rods and all that kind of stuff. I could go to a Sunday school class on Sunday morning. I could get up knowing I got to go to church because that was standard procedure. You went to church. We went to church and did everything that God told us to do. But I could go to a Sunday school class. I could sit in a seat here, and the teacher is right there looking me right in the eye, and I'm consuming every word he's saying, it looks like. But I'm really thinking about fixing that car. And although I'm looking him right in the eye, and he's talking about the Word of God, guess what I'm learning? Nothing. Have you ever done that in your life?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, right? We can do something stupid like that, and it looks like you're consuming what he's saying, and you ain't learning not one doggone thing, not nothing. So then this is what happens when you leave, since you didn't get it. Scripture says that when you didn't get it and didn't fully understand it, when you walk out the door, you have an enemy.
The devil.
Yeah, you know him, don't you?
Yeah. He knows me too.
He knows you too. That the devil will come and steal away. As you walk out that door, everything you learned today, if you didn't really get a hold of it,
yeah.
I mean, if you really didn't get a hold of it, he will take it and he'll take it right out of your heart and he'll steal it from you. And when you get out of here, you maybe go down to the restaurant down here somewhere and say, wow, where have you been? I said, man, I went to a healing school. Pastor Thurman taught us how to get healed up there today. Man, it was awesome. So give me something he said. All of a sudden, I can't think of a thing I said, not a word. Yet, but you'd be amazed at the people. That when I do a teacher healing school, I'll tell you over and over and over. Pay attention. Pay attention. Listen to one or two of these good promises that you're going to stand on. Lock that in your heart, because when you come up here, you're going to need something to stand on for faith. You can't get faith without having the Word in your heart.
Amen.
So get it in there. I'll tell you, hide this Word, or I'll quote a promise like Matthew 18:19. Then I'll say, you see that verse, Matthew 18:19? Yes, sir. Read it to me. And read it to me, and read it to me, and read it to me. And finally, I'll say, do you have it? And sometimes they'll never get it. But like that boy up in Minnesota, come down here, he's I think 37 years old or something, and he has cancer in his right leg. They're going to cut off his right leg and he's 37. That don't even sound entertaining, does it, Char?
No, don't.
It don't to me, I'll tell you for sure. Yeah, you either. I kept going over those promises like that, and I'd come back and I'd say, what does that say? What does Matthew 18:19 says? And he would quote it. And I said, do you believe that? Well, I think so, sir. No, you ain't got it. You don't have it. And we'd keep on and keep on and keep on. And finally, I don't even remember which verse it was. But one verse I told him, and I says, now, can you read that over to me? Read it over to me. Read it over out loud. Out loud. Read it to me. And finally, I said, now, let me come up here real close. Read that to me one more time out loud. He read it out loud and said, now, do you believe it?
Yes.
And that's what he said, too. I got it. That's my verse. I'm going to get healed on that verse. My God, I just quoted him 50. Why did he hit one of them before now? But he finally got this one.
Yeah.
You know? So, and anyway, when we got through there, I said, well, since you're on the front row, you want me to pray for you? He said, no, I don't need to be prayed for. I got it. I'm healed. And that boy, that young man went back home, went to the doctor, and they checked, and there's not a cancer cell in his body. And that's been 2 or 3 years ago, and he's been healed ever since. Don't you love it? I love it. That's what Cheryl keeps telling me. When I tell her, you know, I'm gonna quit traveling. I don't like to travel. I've traveled all over the world. I've seen everything I want to see. But she said, it's not them you go for. You need to go to get people healed. She said, everywhere we go, when you've taken a speaking engagement somewhere, somebody gets healed. She said, just how about that boy at 37 years old that would have lost his leg?
Yeah.
If you hadn't been there, she said, you can't put a price on that.
Oh, amen.
That's why we give everything away. Because you can't buy, you can't pay enough for what you get from these healing scriptures. There's no money in the world that can pay for that. If that was me, and they told me you're going to cut off my right leg at my hip, and then I went somewhere and a man preached and I believed, and I went back and 2 or 3 years later, I don't have a sign of cancer in my body, let me tell you, I would be looking for that man to tell him how much I love him every once in a while or something. Wouldn't you? You don't want to die. But he that dwells, what if you don't dwell in a secret place? I mean, what if it means dwelling in a secret place? I'll tell you something that every young man needs. Every young man in America needs a daddy.
Yeah.
A daddy that loves them. That they can talk to, and that will dwell with them in the secret place. They need a daddy that take them out to get them a drink or whatever, you know, whatever you drink, whether you go get an ice cream together, whatever you do, whether you play ball together, whether you do whatever you do, you need a daddy that'll go with you, that'll do things with you, that'll go hunting with you. Just like the other day, my son and his son, we're going to go deer hunting. Oh, I don't deer hunt no more. So Preston, Tim's son, he has never been deer hunting. And so this is 2 years ago. So I told him, I said, I want all three of us to get together. And the scripture clearly says that if two of us on earth agree about
anything.
What?
Anything.
You reckon you could pray and ask God to give him a deer?
Yes.
Somebody said, well, that's crazy. Well, I don't know. It depends on whether you want to get a deer or not. So if I'm going on a deer hunt with my son, I want us to have a good one. I want us to get a deer or two or whatever. He said I could ask for anything, didn't he?
Yes, right.
So we did. We prayed. And I asked the Lord to give Preston when I get down there that afternoon. I said, Lord, give him a nice big deer, whether it be a doe or a buck, I don't care, but just a nice deer. And then I said, in the morning, they're going hunting again, so give him another one in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, you said if two of us agree. I said, are you boys in agreement with me? And Tim and Preston both said, yes, Dad, we're in agreement with you. They went down there, and guess how many deer they got?
Two.
They killed two, just exactly. His first hunt out. Then the other day, we prayed that the Lord would give them a great buck. And they went out, and he killed a 10-pointer. Well, I mean, boy, you talk about a happy, happy boy. Yeah, he had big, big, nice. But just think, if you will dwell in the secret place, somebody's got to be dwelling. And most people won't dwell. You know, when I look at what God told every dad, you're supposed to teach your children about me. And if you don't know, if you're the dad and you don't know God yourself, how are you going to teach your children about God? I mean, you can live in a church. Oh, my dad, he wasn't very good at being a living example as far as walking in the power. He was a good man. He loved God. And he really did do things good that way. But, you know, he didn't really spend a lot of time with God. He worked hard. He didn't... My dad was really a good man. He loved me with all his heart, and he'd do anything to help me. But he didn't know very much of the Word of God. He knew some of it, but he didn't know as much as he should. So I thought, when I was raising my son, I said, Lord, I want to be able to teach my children about you. I want to know who you are. And I want you to teach my children through me about you and who you are and what you can do. And I'm telling you, I saw God. He answered that prayer for me. In fact, I'm going to tell you one of the stories. Happened right down here in this pasture. I went down there one day to get a bull out. And I run, me and Tim. He's right out of high school. I mean, he was in as good a shape as he's ever been. I mean, he could run. Boy, he could play football. In fact, he was MVP of the year, senior year in high school for the boys football team. But we went down there, and we ran and ran and ran and ran and ran trying to get that bull out of those herd of cows. We could not get that bull out of there. I even run into the bull once with a pickup. I mean, hit him with the front fender. You know, his big monster, 1,500-pound Brangus bull. He's a big old boy. But I couldn't get him out. So Tim's not finally his dad. We might as well give up. He said, we're going to have to go get a couple of horses and somebody to help us. We're never going to get this big monster out here, just you and me. I said, son, me and you got help that you don't know about. He said, what do you mean? I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, send me a couple of angels, or at least one angel. I need an angel. An angel? I said, Lord, you said, what did you say I could ask for?
Amen.
Now, do you believe we have angels?
Amen.
Absolutely, we have angels. They're here all the time. So I said, Lord, send me an angel. I said, angel, I know you're standing right here in front of me, waiting for my command. So I'm asking you to run that bull out of that herd of cows. Run him right down that fence row right yonder, all the way down to the quarter mile to the end of that fence down yonder. Run him through that gate, and then I'll go down there and lock the gate. I said, Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. I said, come on, son, let's get him. I start to walk into that herd of cows, and he said, what do you mean, Dad? And I said, come on. So he starts following me, and we get up here, and all of a sudden that bull, his head goes up like this, and he walks right out of that herd of cows, walked just as straight to that fence as I pointed, hit that fence, turn right. He walked down that fence line all the way to the end of that pasture, down there, nearly a quarter of a mile back there to where that fence is open. That bull, as we're walking along there, I'll never forget what Tim said. He said, Dad, this is another one of your wild stories. If I had seen this one, I would never have believed it. I said, that's what's wrong with you. I said, you need to start believing. I think that should be the desire of every man. He should desire in his heart to have that kind of a relationship with the Master so that he can show his son how God works, that he's real, that he'll take care of you. Don't you believe that?
Yes.
I mean, I think we ought to be able to do that and in other words, Paul says, we need to have a demonstration of the Spirit's power. In other words, as we walk with God, God should be so real to you and the people you deal with that not only should you see signs and miracles and wonders, but they should also. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And one more time, let's read that. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Go ahead, Dave.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Next verse.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust.
Okay, now that's something you need to get to where you do. You need to tell people about your God. I mean, talk about Him. You know, let them know that you believe. Just like yesterday when I was telling my niece, or whatever you want to call her, when she said the church she goes to, said that the pastor said that miracles and signs and miracles has gone away. God don't do that no more. I told her, I said, man, is that not right? I said, God does those kind of things. And then, of course, when I got her grandmother over there and her great-grandmother over there and all that, we told those stories that went way back 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, whatever, a long time ago, whenever I began to learn these things and see God do these things. And then go and read the next one. After I said, I will say of the Lord.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust.
Okay, you want to be a person that's not ashamed of your God. If you are, He won't ever do no miracles for you. You need to tell people who He is. Okay, next verse.
Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
Okay, now who is the fowler?
The devil.
And I mean, he's there to get you. He's going to do whatever he can to knock your legs out from under you. I guarantee he's going to try his best to stop you from whatever you're doing. And if you're not in the Word, not studying the Word, not hiding the Word in your heart, then he's going to have legal right to you. He's going to make your life miserable. I guarantee if there's an enemy out there that God says he made him to kill, steal, and destroy, and if that guy is after me and you, I don't want him to have any kind of legal right to my body or to my family, do you?
No.
Because if he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, I don't like any of those, do you?
No.
And I don't want him moving in on my wife or my children or my grandchildren or nothing else. I want to walk in obedience to God's word, and I want my children and grandchildren to know who this beast is and how he works, and to let them know that he has been given, that they have been given all power and all authority over this beast. Because he's going to kill you if he can. And you ain't going to like it. I guarantee you're not going to like it when he comes in and tries to kill you. Okay, read on, Dave.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
Read on.
Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday.
You know, when you stop and think about what Dave just read there, I thought about my daughter when she was a little girl. She got the spirit of fear when it says, do not be afraid. But my little daughter, she picked up a spirit of fear. And I didn't know where he got in or how he got in. But all I did know is that she was afraid of everything after dark. I mean, and even my own mother and dad, she would not spend the night at their house unless me or mama was there with her. That's not normal. I mean, my mother and dad were the sweetest people you can imagine. But my daughter would not spend the night with grandma and grandpa unless me or Betty, one of us, was there with her. So she had this spirit of fear. I didn't understand where this thing come from. I prayed for years. Several years went by, and I'm praying, Lord, where did this spirit of fear come from? How did she pick this thing up? One day, I had already gone to bed, and Betty come down, and she said, honey, you got to get up and go up there and see what's wrong with Amanda. So she's sitting in the middle of her bed, crying her eyes out. I can't do nothing that pleases her. So I get up and go up there and I said, honey, what's wrong with you? She said, Daddy, I feel like if I died tonight, I'd go to hell to be with the devil. Boy, that'll torment you, huh? And I said, but honey, I remember when you were 6 years old, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Did you mean that? She said, yes, Daddy, I meant that. I did mean it. But I have this fear. When she said that, the Lord spoke to me clear as a bell. He said, son, your daughter has a spirit of fear, and in my name you have power over it. Kick it out of her.
Amen.
So I go over there and sit down on the edge of the bed. I grab her by the shoulders, turn her around there. I said, look me right in the eye, Amanda. She turned around and looked me right in the eye. I said, you devil of hell, I have been given power and authority over you, and you have to be subject to me in Luke 10, 19, and 20. Now, I demand and command you to come out of my daughter and go to the abyss, and don't you ever come back in Jesus' name. Do you hear me? I said, go. And all of a sudden, she jerked herself out of my hands and leaned back on the pillow and woke up, and she threw her hands up and started laughing like crazy. I said, what's wrong? She said, it's gone. I'm free. I have no fear of nothing.
Amen.
She was completely delivered. Years later, I still didn't know how that thing got in. Years later, I was doing something, and when I was telling a story about when we were down there, and I picked up a piece of steel, a piece of sea iron, and there was about a 3 or 4 foot long chicken snake laying under that sea iron. When I picked it up, there was that snake, and I scared him because he didn't know what to do. He was trying every way to get away. And he didn't know which way to go this way. I wasn't afraid at all, but I had that piece of steel in my hand. Finally, he started running toward Tim and Amanda. As he started running toward them, Amanda started screaming. And I grabbed that piece of iron, and I sprung over there, and I jabbed it down in the ground, and I got him just about, just a little over halfway toward the head. I pinned his head to the ground, and Amanda is screaming. I mean, she's screaming. I said, "Amanda, honey, will you please be quiet? I have the situation well in hand." Tim just standing over there, he's not moving or running or nothing. He's just standing there. He said, "Dad, that's what I call having the situation in your hand." He wasn't a bit afraid. But anyway, I killed the snake, throwed him out there, out of the way, out in the pasture. And when I throwed that snake out of there, Amanda come running up me, and she grabbed me by the leg, and she crawled up there, and when she stopped, her legs was around my neck. She was like, I could not believe where she went. And then I said, "Lord, what is this?" He said, "That's when that spirit of fear entered your daughter. That's how he got in." So I thought to myself, well, I've seen people that will, and their own children, will hide behind the door. Now, have you ever heard of this? One of the little boys or girls come in and start to do something, they jump out and scream at them, try to make them afraid. You ever seen that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's how that spirit of fear got in my daughter. Whenever she was mesmerized at that snake flopping, although he was pinned to the ground. But when I killed that snake and threw it away, the Lord clearly told me that's when that thing entered her. I commanded that thing to leave, and one day I come home, and Betty, she'd been up to Target buying something. She said, "I wish you'd have left a little of that fear in her." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I went over to Target today to buy some stuff, and it was after 9 o'clock, way after dark." I said, that looks like Amanda's car." And she said, "I went over there and checked, and it was. It was way out there on the parking lot, way out there on the parking lot." She said, I sat there and waited for her to come out. She came out, and I said, "Amanda, I want to double check. That is your car?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, Mom, that's my car." She said, "Why didn't you park a little closer to the building?" She said, "Mom, I'm not afraid of nothing." Now, here's a girl that wouldn't spend a night with nobody, scared to death of everything, and now all of a sudden I cast out that spirit of fear. And when I learned how they get in, sometimes, and I've seen people that'll do this, they'll hide behind the door and scare their kids. And that just, when I was teaching Tim how to swim, I was in the pool down there one day, and he's hesitating to jump off in there, but I'd catch him every time. Finally, there's a guy come up beside me, and he says, "I'll tell you what you need to do." He says, "When that boy jumps off in there, jump out of the way and let him go under."
No.
I told that man, I said, "Sir, I am not a liar. And when my son said, 'Dad, if I jump in there, will you catch me?' I said, let me tell you, there ain't nothing short of death would keep me from catching that boy. If I told him I'd catch him, I guarantee there ain't nothing. Ain't nothing you or nobody else can do to get me to not catch him when he jumps in that water. Because if there's anything I want my children to do, I want them to grow up knowing Daddy is not a liar." That's just like this time of the year we're celebrating Christmas right now. I don't know how everybody else feels about this, but when my children were little bitty, I told them from day one, this is Santa Claus.
All right.
There ain't no such thing as Santa Claus. I said, there is no such thing. I said, Daddy goes out and works and makes money and buys these things that y'all need, and we give it to y'all at Christmas. It does not come from a man with a little red and white suit.
Amen.
But that's the way I believe. You don't do your children like that. One day they're going to find out the truth.
Yeah.
I want mine to know they're up front. There is no such thing as Santa Claus.
Amen.
There's only Jesus Christ, and it's his birthday we're talking about. So anyway, okay, let's go a little bit further here with this.
1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Now, how would you like to be in a situation like that? I mean, so what are we as sons and daughters of God, what do we have to be afraid of? Nothing. Read on, Dave.
Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
That verse right there, he just left. I love that verse. If I walk in obedience to his word and do what he says, there shall no plague come upon me. Do you like being sick? No. I don't want to be sick. I don't want nobody around me to be sick. I want us all to be well. But for you to walk in divine health, you have got to do something yourself. First you got to believe that God paid the price like he said, but then you've got to believe that you have got to do what he says. If you're walking in obedience to his word, you're dwelling in his word, you're walking holy before him, I mean, you're being led by the Spirit of God and you're doing everything God says, then all these things will work for you. But if you're out here not, say you only read the Bible once a month. Say you spend 30 minutes one day a month. I don't think that's dwelling in a secret place, do you? You need to spend time with God. And if you want to be able to see all these miracles happen, that's what you're going to have to do. Okay, read on, Dave.
For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways.
There's those angels. He's going to give those angels charge over you. And they're going to protect you and watch over you and keep you safe. Is that comforting?
Yes.
To know that those guys are there. And most of the time they're invisible. But when I was in the hospital with Caitlin, out of the 4 weeks that I was in ICU, I saw an angel the second, third, and fourth week. And as I'm walking out at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, coming home to get a couple hours sleep, I'm walking down a corridor, and all of a sudden somebody walks up beside me, and I stop and turn to see who it is. And it's a man, and he's looking me right in the eye. And he says, "The Lord said to tell you he loves you." Now, I had never heard that before. The next week, same thing. The next week, same thing. When this man walked up to me and told me, said, "Sir, the Lord said to tell you he loves you." And he just kept on walking. So I stood there for a second, and he went around the corner. So I ran right quick to the edge and looked down the corridor, and there was nobody there. That's when I realized that was an angel. God was happy with what I was doing, getting all those babies healed. Standing on his word, he was very pleased with me at that point, and he told me, but through an angel, that the Lord said to tell you, he loves you. I can't think of anything I'd rather hear.
Amen.
I definitely don't want to hear that old statement, into outer darkness where there's weeping. I don't want to hear that. Do you, Char?
Sure
don't. Woo, I definitely don't want to hear that. I want to hear a well done, faithful servant, don't you?
Exactly right.
Yeah, that's me too. Guarantee is what I want to do. Okay, let's read on.
They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Praise the Lord. Now then, would you like to live there? It wouldn't hurt anything if we went back and read that every day this week, Psalm 91. We need to read Psalm 91. And then you need to obey it. You need to do what it says, right?
Yes.
Father, I thank you and praise you for this day. I thank you for these folks that come out here and we hear your word and we talk about your word. I thank you for all the healings. I thank you for the stories that I've been able to tell today with real live people that are in here still today after all these years that was healed or these things were happened to them. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, for blessing this family. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us all a great week this week. We're going to see you do great and mighty things, and you're going to protect us from the evil one. We're going to have a blessed week in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.